somewhere there's a secret road to take me far away. I know, but till then I am hollow. In this troubled town, troubles I found. In this troubled town, fools I found.
Chapter 1, Part 2. When Stiles woke, the living room was bright with morning sunlight, and his phone, conscientiously placed on the coffee table next to his head, rang loudly. Stiles groaned, smacked at it with his injured hand, whimpered at the pain this caused, and managed to roll onto his shoulder far enough to grab it with his uninjured hand.
Hello?
Stiles?
Laura sighed on the other end, and his heart sank.
Oh, Stiles said quietly. Hi, I'm sorry.
No, it's my fault. I should have gotten that door checked out sooner. Are you all right?
I'm okay, Stiles replied, twisting his injured arm cautiously, not that he could see anything through the bandages.
Second degree burns. Laura cursed.
Damn it! I'm sorry, Stiles. That shouldn't have happened.
Well, I shouldn't have been poking around down there. Are you going to fire me?
What? Don't be stupid. I'll see you on Monday. And just let me know if you're not feeling up to it, all right?
I'll be in, Stiles promised.
Laura hung up, and he leaned over to place his phone back on the coffee table, which was when he noticed the dog. Derek, he reminded himself, lying on the floor next to the couch, his chin on his paws.
Hey, buddy, Stiles said softly, and Derek lifted his head, looking up at Stiles with a bored expression.
Stiles reached out with his uninjured hand, and Derek went stiff, but allowed Stiles to pet his head, a resigned look on his long face. His fur was soft, and not a true black, more of a deep, warm brown. After a minute, Derek seemed to have enough of Stiles petting him, for he rose to his feet and trotted out of the living room. A moment later, Stiles heard the creak of the back door and Derek's nails on the back deck. Then silence. His dad must have left the door open for him, Stiles thought blearily, wiping his hand over his eyes. Navigating life with only one usable hand, and his non-dominant hand at that, was much more difficult than Stiles had ever suspected. Even levering himself off the couch was a chore. His dad had left a note in the kitchen next to his bottle of pain meds that said, "Be back around 6. Don't abuse these. I will arrest you." Stiles rolled his eyes and made himself a plate of bacon and eggs, all done in the microwave because Stiles didn't relish the thought of cooking with only one hand, before taking 2 more pills and then a 3-hour nap. After that, he wasn't sure what to do with himself. He couldn't change out of his clothes. He'd tried and nearly suffocated himself trying to get his shirt over his head. So he resigned himself to yesterday's clothes until his dad got home. Stiles texted Scott, but he wouldn't get out of work for another couple of hours. Eventually, he wandered outside and managed to untangle the garden hose, literally single-handedly, and watered the garden. Some of the seeds had already sprouted, which he was extremely proud of. Little green sprouts dotted the soil. The beans had grown especially quick. Some of the plants were already an inch high, and he grinned, thinking about Jack and the beanstalk. Stiles noticed Derek standing at the edge of the trees, like he'd done all week, and waved. Maybe he should be more concerned about having the dog hanging around. He remembered what Scott had said the other day. I wouldn't try to approach him. Advice that his dad clearly hadn't been given. But the second part of Scott's statement, "Oh, he won't hurt you," certainly seemed to be true so far, and he hadn't woken up sneezing, which was encouraging. Derek didn't move, however. He remained where he sat in the shade of the trees, and the next time Stiles looked up, he was gone. Stiles shrugged, not offended, and headed back inside. When Scott came over, he let himself in and strode into the living room, looking inappropriately cheerful.
Hey, dude, how's the arm?
Styles looked up from the TV. He'd stuck in a random disc of Battlestar Galactica and blinked wearily. Aches, he said, which was true. Scott plunked himself down on the couch next to him, and Styles added, I apologize in advance if I fall asleep on you. I just took some more meds.
No worries, Scott said, patting his knee.
Styles noticed he seemed a little distracted, sniffing discreetly.
Everything all right?
Styles asked warily, suddenly self-conscious of his day-old clothes, wondering if he was starting to smell.
Huh? Oh no. Did you get a dog?
Styles met Scott's earnest brown eyes, not exactly sure what to say. If he told Scott his dad let a stray wander in and out, he'd sound crazy. So he went with the technical truth, which was, no. Scott studied him for a moment before shrugging, his eyes turning forward and landing on the television. And just as Styles warned, he fell asleep a half hour later, curled on his side with his feet against Scott's thigh. He barely noticed Scott's hand on his ankle, or the way the pain seemed to get sucked out of him, blessed relief spreading through his body like magic. Styles spent most of the weekend on the couch, listening to the rain. His dad took him back to the hospital 2 days after the accident to get his bandages changed. His arm looked horrifying, but he at least had the pleasure of seeing his dad talking to Scott's mom and getting incredibly flustered when Styles popped up and chimed, "Have you guys picked a date for the wedding?" Melissa McCall just laughed and smacked him on the shoulder. Styles forgot about Derek. Even though it rained all weekend, Derek didn't make any appearances until late Sunday night. Styles woke suddenly as thunder shook the house, and in a flash of lightning, he saw Derek standing in the hall, looking into his room. Normally this would have startled the shit out of him, but Styles was a little loopy on meds and sleep, so all he did was hang his uninjured hand over the side of the bed and pat the mattress, mumbling, "Come here, buddy." Derek stood there a moment longer, watching him silently, before padding into the room, gently touching his nose to the back of Styles' hand. "You are very polite," Styles told him. He rolled over, careful not to jar his injured arm, shifting away from the edge of the bed. "You want to share? I know the guest bed's not as comfy as mine." He and Derek watched each other for a long moment before Derek moved forward, jumping onto the bed in one fluid movement. He settled down beside Styles, head on the other pillow.
"Good boy," Styles muttered sleepily, his eyes growing heavy.
Derek heaved a sigh next to him, sounding put upon, but he didn't move. Derek showed up more often after that. Styles noticed that his dad started leaving the back door open even when it wasn't raining, but he didn't say anything. It was kind of nice having a dog in the house. They'd never been a family that was huge on having pets. There'd been no dogs because of his allergies, and his mom had had a cat that passed away before she did. Styles had a snake in junior high, which his mom never would have allowed and his dad hated but tolerated, at least until it escaped and his dad found it curled up in his bed. And anyway, he couldn't really cuddle with a snake. He couldn't really cuddle when it came to Derek, truth be told. He didn't seem to like being touched all that much. He'd allow Styles to pet his head for about 30 seconds, before turning slowly and deliberately, letting Styles know he was done. He never wagged his tail either, so Styles had a hard time judging his mood. Even so, it felt good having him around. When Styles worked in the garden, Derek stopped hanging around at the edge of the trees and laid in the grass next to him instead, following bugs with his nose or dozing in the sunlight. Styles took it as a good sign that Derek hung around him. He didn't seem to like anyone besides Styles and his dad. Scott showed up unannounced one night while they were eating dinner and a good 30 seconds before he opened the door, Derek lifted his head, lip curling back in a silent snarl, before he'd slipped out the back door, tail held stiffly behind him. Stiles was glad he hadn't mentioned Derek to Scott that first time Scott had asked if they had a dog. Stiles went back to work a week after the accident. He tried to go back on Monday, but his dad patiently convinced him to take one more day off. Stiles could see the sense in that. He couldn't hold anything in his injured hand, couldn't drive, couldn't shelf books, couldn't write. When he did go back, his dad had to drive him because the Jeep was still parked in the library parking lot. Laura was on shift, and she wrapped him into a tight hug when he came through the doors. Stiles winced as she jostled his arm. It wasn't so bad now, but his slowly healing skin was still bandaged, as some of the blisters had popped, and his doctor said it needed to be kept safe from infection. It didn't hurt so much, but it was sore, tender all over. "Stiles, I am so sorry," Laura said, stepping back with her brow creased in worry. I've taken steps. It won't happen again." "You don't have to apologize. I shouldn't have been snooping around." "Second-degree burns are not a proportional punishment. Come on." Stiles followed her through the stacks, bewildered when she headed for the basement stairs.
Come on," Laura insisted.
"You wanted to know what was down here. I think it's only fair I show you."
"Are you sure?"
Stiles said hesitantly, stepping down onto the concrete floor. Someone had tidied up the book sale tables. No sign of the mess he'd made getting thrown across the room the week before.
"Certain," Laura said, pulling a key out of her pocket.
She unlocked the grill, and Stiles winced reflexively as she pulled it open. But nothing happened.
"See? All fixed. Come here."
Stiles stepped forward cautiously, giving the gate a wide berth as he stepped into the small alcove with Laura. He could still feel a faint fizzling in the air, but it seemed far off, not jarring his vision like he had before. Now he could squint at the gilt titles on the spines of the books, and his eyes widened at what he saw.
"What is this?" he asked.
"We have, the largest library of the occult on the West Coast," Laura said, sounding a little sheepish, but proud too.
"Aha," Stiles said, reaching out and taking Teutonic curses off the shelf. It appeared to be written half in English, half in German, and he put it back.
"Why?"
Laura shrugged. "My family's always been, a little superstitious, you might say. Know thine enemy, or whatever."
"Enemy?" Stiles raised an eyebrow at her. Laura shrugged again, but didn't elaborate.
"So why is it locked up? It's not like anyone can actually use this stuff."
"Right," Laura said heavily.
"I don't know. Some of these books are rare. They're worth a lot of money. And anyway, there are some really weird bylaws on the record in this town."
Stiles thought about the bookcase full of code books in his dad's office and figured she was probably right.
"Anyway, this is what you sacrificed your skin for. Hope it's not too much of a bummer."
"I don't know what I was expecting," Stiles admitted, stepping out of the alcove so she could lock the gate behind them. Laura winked at him.
"Fooled ya," she said. "Half those books are hollowed out and filled with gold and jewels. It's the town's secret treasure trove."
Stiles grinned. "Good thing I know where to find the key." Laura narrowed her eyes at him.
"You just try it, mister," she said,
then ruined the threat by laughing. Once they got back upstairs, Laura told him, "All right, now that that's out of the way, you need to head over to Town Hall. They've been getting after me to have you go in to file a workman's comp claim."
"Do I still get paid for the time I spend there?" Stiles asked hopefully.
Laura grinned.
"And wring more money out of the city? Obviously."
"Sweet," Stiles said.
"I'll head down then."
"Might as well take lunch while you're out,"
Laura told him cheerfully.
"We'll bill it to the city."
Stiles raised his eyebrows.
"You really like spending their money, huh?
Sure do. Finstock hates me. I've got a competition with myself to see if I can beat last year's expenditures, and I'm winning.
Styles laughed as he headed out the door.
Town Hall was a long, two-story building, equidistant from the sheriff's office and the library, built of blocks of pale stone. Inside, it was cool and quiet, muted with the noise of many people talking in low voices. A man at the front desk pointed him down a hallway to a small room with four desks, all of which were empty except for one, where a woman with dark hair sat in front of a computer. She smiled at Styles as he came into the room.
"Can I help you?"
"Yeah, I need to fill up workman's comp forms," Styles said.
"Are you Jennifer?"
The nameplate on her desk said Jennifer Blake, but it never hurt to be sure.
"I am," she said, offering a hand to Styles, who took a step toward the desk so he could lean over to shake it awkwardly with his uninjured left hand.
The second their hands touched, Styles felt a sharp shock run down his arm, and he jerked back with a cut-off swear. It felt exactly like getting shocked by the door, though nowhere near as powerful.
"Sorry," Jennifer exclaimed, shaking her hand as if to rid it of excess energy. She gave Styles a rueful smile.
"You've got quite a spark, don't you?"
"Guess I haven't got rid of all that electricity yet," Styles joked, trying to ignore the way his arm still tingled.
Jennifer laughed sweetly and gestured at a chair across from her desk. "Sit down and I'll help you out. I'm guessing you're Styles?"
"Yeah," Styles said awkwardly, plunking himself down in the seat.
Jennifer gave him a sympathetic smile as she rifled through a pile of papers on her desk.
"How's the arm?"
Getting there."
"Raw honey's a good way to draw the fire out," she told him, handing him a clipboard and a pen.
Thanks," Styles said uncertainly. He'd stick with the ointment the hospital had prescribed, not some weird folk remedy, thanks.
He turned his attention to the form instead, trying to hold the pen without hurting himself, which was a losing battle. Jennifer watched him for a moment, her brow creasing, before saying,
"Let me take care of that. I'll ask the questions, you tell me the answers. How does that sound?"
"Fine," Styles said, simultaneously relieved and embarrassed.
"Thanks," he added, as he handed over the pen and clipboard.
Jennifer smiled at him before turning her eyes to the papers in front of her.
"First name?" she asked, her pen hovering above the top sheet.
"Styles."
She blinked at him.
"That's your real name?"
No, Styles said, his cheeks colouring. "I didn't realise it needed, it's Stanislav."
He spelled it out for Jennifer, who wrote it down dutifully, then looked up at him with a smile.
"That's Polish, right?"
"Yeah," Styles replied uncomfortably. He didn't like people knowing his name. Stanislav had been his grandfather's name, and he died before Styles was born. But his grandmother had always been weird about it.
"Names have power," she'd told him when he was little, and had, in fact, been the one to start calling him Styles.
He didn't really think there was anything to that statement, but whether it was out of respect for his grandma or something else, he shared it with as few people as possible.
"All right," Jennifer said, after watching him for a long moment.
"Middle initial?"
Styles returned to the library an hour later with a sandwich from the deli across the street from Town Hall, and a brownie for Laura, who took it with glee, proclaiming, "You're my favourite." The afternoon was quiet, except for a meeting of the Geological Society, which had gathered at the library to look at the Hale family collection of minerals. Styles watched them idly from the circulation desk, swinging his feet back and forth. He was distracted. His mind kept slipping back to the woman at the town hall, and the way he'd felt that shock when he touched her. It could have been static electricity, he supposed, but he'd never felt a resulting shock that strong before. He was probably being paranoid. It was Friday. which meant board game night, although they abandoned the board games to play an increasingly rowdy game of charades. Lydia didn't bring her hallucinogenic punch this time, for which Stiles was thankful, although at one point in the evening he picked up Scott's beer by mistake and found it had that same sweet, almost herbal taste to it. "It's a homebrew," Scott said, hardly snatching the bottle out of Stiles' hand when he noticed the face Stiles made. "Still working on the recipe." "Definitely need some work, dude," Stiles said, wishing he could scrape the taste off his tongue. He settled for pounding a couple of regular-tasting beers instead. It occurred to him that people probably got bored in a small town like this. There probably wasn't a huge drug market, and they'd probably found some kind of weird local plant everyone used to get high. Stiles shrugged. They'd clearly all gotten used to it ages ago. Hallucinogenic beer or not, Stiles was still astoundingly drunk by the time he left Scott's house. He managed to keep his feet on the road, though he narrowly avoided collapsing into a ditch once or twice, and stumbled back to the house in one piece. He was surprised to find Derek waiting at the end of the driveway, sitting primly on the gravel with a look of disgust on his face.
"Hey, buddy," Stiles slurred cheerfully, ruffling Derek's ears.
The dog huffed, jerking out of his reach, but followed at his side as Stiles tottered down the driveway. He leaned against the Jeep for a moment, looking up at the house. All the windows stood dark, no sign of his dad up watching late-night talk shows, but he didn't feel like going inside yet. The night was cool, but not cold, hinting at warm summer days to come. Stiles looked down at Derek, sitting by his feet with his head turned toward the road.
"You know what would be cool?" Stiles said.
Derek turned at his voice, looking up at him.
"It'd be awesome if you could talk. Wouldn't that be rad? A talking dog."
Derek made a soft noise, pressing his wet nose into Stiles' palm. Stiles watched him, a little surprised. He could probably count on one hand the times Derek had touched him voluntarily. Moving carefully, Stiles slid down the side of the Jeep and leaned back against the tire. And to his further surprise, Derek moved into his space without hesitation, sinking down onto the gravel next to him, his head on Stiles' thigh.
"What do you do all day, huh?"
Stiles asked him softly, reaching out and gently stroking Derek's head. The hair there was short and soft, getting longer and more wiry down his neck, growing into a thick ruff, almost like a lion's mane, around his broad chest.
"Do you get lonely? It's okay if you do. We all do. I do."
He liked Beacon Hills a lot, but he still felt like a stranger. He imagined it was like moving to a new school where everyone already had a history with each other, their own groups of friends and enemies. Even though everyone he'd met had been nothing but welcoming, he still felt like an outsider, blind to inside jokes and people's histories. Even his dad had all the people at the station. And here sat Stiles, drunk in the dirt in the middle of the night, talking to a dog. He snorted.
"At least he had Derek."
"At least I have you," Stiles repeated out loud. Derek beat his tail against the ground, just once, but it was enough. The next morning found Stiles sitting sullenly behind the circulation desk. He'd somehow managed to pass out on the ground and had woken up dew-soaked and shivering to his dad standing over him with a bewildered frown on his face. He'd called Stiles by his real name, which told him he was going to be in a lot of trouble later. At least Derek had stayed with him, though he trotted off into the woods when Stiles' father had hauled him to his feet and pushed him towards the house. Now, he had the worst hangover that he'd had since his first few weeks at college freshman year. Thank God the library was quiet for a Saturday, because every echoing whisper ricocheted through his head like a gunshot. Lydia sat at the other chair behind the desk, silent as the grave, dark circles under her eyes. Isaac lay under the desk, faint groans floating up to Styles every couple of minutes. Laura burst into the library about an hour after opening, looking inappropriately cheerful. "You're all looking pretty sorry for yourselves," she said brightly. Styles winced at the volume of her voice, and she grinned at him, rapping sharply on the counter with her knuckles. "Lahey," she called as Isaac groaned. "Don't you dare puke under there."
"Can we help you?" Lydia asked tiredly.
"I brought my beloved employees donuts," Laura announced, setting a bag down on the counter in front of Styles. "I will now accept your praise and thanks." What she got instead was a couple of half-hearted smiles and a muttered, "Thanks," from Styles, but she didn't seem deterred. "Don't eat too many," Laura warned, putting a hand on Styles' arm as he reached for the bag. She paused, a strange expression flitting over her face.
"Something wrong?" Styles asked nervously.
"No," Laura said after a moment, eyeing him steadily.
"Do you have a dog, Styles?"
"Huh?" Styles looked down at himself. He'd changed, but he hadn't showered since yesterday. Did Derek have a really strong smell or something? He'd never noticed. Maybe it was time to give both of them a bath.
Not really.
Laura said softly. She seemed a little thrown.
Well, have a good day, you guys.
After she left, Styles turned to Lydia.
Did she seem off to you?
Lydia shrugged noncommittally. Under the desk, Isaac offered,
"You do smell like dog."
"Seriously?"
Styles complained. Isaac scooted out from under the desk and sat up, his nose wrinkling.
"You smell like..."
"Isaac," Lydia said sharply. Isaac gave her a mutinous look and muttered,
"Never mind. Where are those donuts?"
Styles gave him a suspicious look as he handed over the bag.
"What were you going to say?"
"He was just going to be rude," Lydia said, narrowing her eyes at Isaac. He took a donut from the bag and retreated back under the desk.
"I'm surrendering," he said, his voice echoing up to them.
Lydia smiled smugly and bit into a jelly donut. The only interesting thing that happened at the library that day was an older woman who came in with a note from the town giving her permission to get into the book room downstairs. She was the first person Styles had seen come in to use the rare books, and he watched with interest as Lydia carefully read through the letter, then stamped it with an official-looking seal before sliding it into a drawer. She made him show the woman downstairs and unlock the grill for her, which he did carefully, tensing as he pulled it open. "Why are people so interested in those books?" Styles asked once he'd returned upstairs. "People don't believe in that stuff, do they?"
"If you look hard enough, you'll find people who believe in anything," Lydia replied evenly. "It's not necessarily a question of belief, but a question of knowledge. Aren't you curious?"
Styles shrugged.
"Not really. Laura showed me around downstairs yesterday."
"You should spend some time down there," Lydia told him. "You might learn something interesting."
"You sure that's a good idea?"
Isaac asked, looking a little uneasy. By this point, he'd emerged from under the desk and was leaning against the circulation desk, his curls limp.
"Why, Isaac?"
Lydia asked, her voice sweet and pointed.
"The door already shocked him. What do you think is going to happen?"
"Nothing," Isaac muttered.
"All right," Styles said slowly, not sure what he'd just witnessed.
"I'm just, going to put some books away."
Lydia gave him a tight smile.
"You do that."
When Styles retreated into the stacks, pulling a book cart along behind him, he could hear the couple whispering furiously at each other. He decided it was best to stay out of it. How'd you guys meet? Styles asked his dad a couple nights later. His dad was sprawled in his armchair with a beer, and he kept tossing Derek pieces of pepperoni. Derek himself was sprawled across the end of the couch next to Styles, who had his feet up on the coffee table.
Who?
His dad asked guiltily. Derek, Styles replied patiently. He poked a finger at Derek's furry hindquarters, and the dog snapped at him irritably before whipping his head back around to snatch another piece of pepperoni out of the air.
Oh, his dad said thoughtfully. Well, when I first started in the fall, a couple of people in town told me about a stray that hung around the Hale house, so I headed up there to see if I could catch him. Took a couple of visits before I even saw him, so I started going up there with my lunch and I'd talk. I'd tell him stories about you and me, things going on in town. It took a few months, but after a while we were sharing lunch every day.
Styles rolled his eyes at his dad's big heart. And then what? You snatched him one rainy day and brought him home?
I told him if it ever got too cold he could stop by, his dad replied loftily.
And one night last January, I looked out the window and there he was. He's got a lot of pride, he added, eyeing Derek, who huffed.
Waited until the coldest night of the year. I don't think he likes being helped.
This was apparently too much for Derek, who made a low, angry, rumbling noise deep in his chest. One of the few vocalizations Styles had ever heard from him. Leapt off the couch and left the room, the back door creaking a few seconds later.
I think you offended him, Styles said mildly, stretching sideways to take the space Derek had just vacated.
Sometimes you have to hear these hard truths,
his dad replied, tossing a piece of pepperoni at him.
I'm not a dog, Styles protested,
but picked the meat off his chest anyway. Just as he was about to pop it into his mouth, there came a sudden storm of noise from the backyard, a deep, thundering snarling that made Styles jolt upright in surprise. What the hell was that? His father was already halfway out of his seat, and he crossed the room as Styles twisted around on the couch, trying to peer out the window into the darkness. His dad strode into the kitchen and flicked on the backlight, which lit the backyard and cast the trees in deep shadows. Styles thought he saw a flurry of movement at the edge of the light, a mash of dark and light, and his blood ran cold.
Shit, his dad swore, striding back through the room.
Styles leaned after him, his heart pounding. Dad, was that Derek?
I don't know, his father replied grimly, disappearing into the den.
Styles could hear him rummaging around there, and when he reappeared a moment later, he had a shotgun in his hands. Styles opened his mouth to speak, but they both paused when a howl rose up through the trees, rough and wild.
Dad, Styles said hoarsely, but his father shook his head as he headed for the kitchen.
Whoa, wait, you can't...
Call Laura, his dad told him seriously. Then call the station. Tell them I've got a 1091 AW.
Wait, Dad, Styles protested, but his dad was already out the back door, stepping out into the dim pool of light in the backyard. Whatever was going on in the trees was still audible, and whatever it was sounded violent. He scrambled for his phone. He had no idea why his dad wanted him to call Laura, but he wasn't going to question it, not when he was out there walking into probable danger. Laura picked up on the first ring, sounding tense.
Styles?
Hey, my dad wanted...
I know. I'm on my way.
Oh, okay, Styles said, but he spoke only to dead air. Laura had already hung up. Next, he called the station, only to hear a recorded message telling him that the station was closed and his call was being forwarded to whichever deputy was on call. After a few rings, a woman picked up with a sharp...
Deputy Knox?
Hi, this is Styles Stilinski, John's...
What's going on?
She interrupted. Styles blinked. Dad said to tell you there's a 1091 AW and...
Where?
Deputy Knox demanded. At our house,
On my way,
she snapped, and hung up. Styles gaped at the phone for a moment, before twisting back around, peering out the window. He couldn't see his dad, or whatever thing... things, maybe. It sounded like a fight of some kind, though he could hear them snarling and his dad shouting, too far off to hear what he was saying. Styles dithered there, unsure what to do. He knew the combination to his dad's gun safe, his mom's birthday. He knew how to handle a gun, but he hadn't gone shooting in probably 5 years, and anyway, he knew how dangerous it was to wander around the woods in the dark with a loaded weapon. He couldn't just leave his dad out there alone, though. He hadn't even taken a flashlight. Just as Styles made up his mind to head outside, he heard a car door slam in the driveway, and he spun around, expecting a knock on the door. Instead, he heard fast footsteps come round the side of the house, and he turned around again just in time to see a woman flash past the back windows, heading for the trees, her long dark hair streaming behind her. Styles stared, pretty sure that had been Laura. Before he could shout after her, there came the sound of more cars coming down the driveway, and when he went around to the front of the house, it seemed that Deputy Knox had roused the entire deputy roster. They all went pouring around the side of the house after Laura, most of them clad in civilian clothes, but all carrying rifles. "Jesus," Styles whispered, his eyes going wide as he watched them flow en masse across the backyard and into the woods. What the fuck was going on? He thought there was a bear out there or something. Most of the snarling from the forest had died down, replaced by the sound of human voices. Styles could see lights flashing amongst the trees. Some of the deputies had had the good sense to bring flashlights with them. Styles sat staring into the dark woods for what seemed like ages, draped over the back of the couch, while he waited for some kind of revelation. Eventually, there did come movement from the trees. A shadow burst from the woods, and Styles jumped, startled. But it was Derek, sprinting across the backyard. He banged through the back door, but slowed as he came into the living room, head raised and ears pricked forward. Styles sighed, relieved to see someone he knew, even if it was only a dog. "Hey, dude, was that you making all that noise out there?" Derek leapt up onto the couch next to him and shoved his nose against Styles' neck, huffing wetly against his skin. Styles yelped in surprise and twisted away from him, falling sideways against the cushions. Derek gave him a pitying sort of look and put his paws up on the back of the couch to watch out the window while Styles rubbed at the wetness on his neck. "Ah, gross," he muttered, then froze as he glanced at his fingers. They glistened in the light, streaked red with blood. "Shit, Derek?" He surged up onto his knees, leaning in to examine Derek's face. He hadn't noticed at first as it blended in with Derek's dark fur, but there was blood smeared all over his muzzle and chest, matting his fur. "Dude!" He tried to poke at Derek's fur to see if the blood belonged to him or whatever he'd been fighting, but Derek shifted away from him, curling his lip above his blood-smeared teeth. "Come on, let me take a look at you, buddy. I just want to make sure you're okay." He got to his feet, and Derek watched him suspiciously. Styles gestured toward the ceiling. "Will you come to the bathroom with me? The light's a lot better up there." He took a step toward the stairs and gave Derek a hopeful look. Slowly, like it caused him a great loss of dignity to do so, Derek slipped off the couch and slunk upstairs ahead of Styles. He even sat while Styles perched on the edge of the bathtub in the bathroom, and though he curled his lip while Styles carefully combed through his fur, he made no further noise or protest. The only injury Styles could find was what looked like a bite on one of Derek's back legs, the skin torn and weeping blood onto the linoleum floor. Derek whimpered when Styles prodded gently at the skin, muscle shuddering under his touch. "Sorry," Styles murmured, and sat upright, wondering what to do. "Clean it, maybe?" "Stay," he told Derek, and went out to the hall closet, where he dug through the shelves to see if they had any antiseptics. He found an old bottle of iodine way in the back and paused there because right next to his hand was what looked like a set of hinges. But he had things he needed to take care of. He grabbed the bottle and a roll of bandages and went back into the bathroom, where Derek sat patiently.
All right, Stiles declared.
Sorry about this. He poured iodine onto a towel and then leaned forward, gently dabbing at the wound on Derek's leg. Derek snarled, and Stiles froze because it was not an entirely encouraging sound to hear with the back of his neck exposed. After a moment of slightly terrified silence, Stiles felt the press of Derek's cold nose against his skin, nudging him gently, as if to say, "Sorry to interrupt, do go on." Gathering up his courage, Stiles pressed his hand forward again, gently cleaning the dirt and clotting blood from the wound. Once it was as clean as he thought it'd get, Stiles washed his hands, but paused over the bandages. He looked down at Derek, his muzzle stiff with dried blood, and said, "I don't suppose you'd be up for a bath, would you? Only, I've already had 3 people accuse me of smelling like a dog, and now you're covered in blood." Derek looked up at him, unimpressed, and Stiles sighed. "Fine, but you're not hanging out on the couch until you get yourself clean, all right? Fair's fair." Derek gave a long-suffering sigh, and, after another moment of staring up at Stiles, got to his feet and hopped lightly into the bathtub. Stiles blinked in surprise. "Oh, really? Jesus, you're smart." Derek gave him a smug look, and Stiles laughed. "Like I didn't already know that." He really was, Stiles thought, turning on the warm water and pulling the showerhead down. He was much more perceptive than any other dog Stiles had ever met, and 1,000 times more intelligent. Stiles knew that Derek could understand what he was saying. It was clear by the way he'd gone straight up to the bathroom and jumped in the tub, and just the way he looked at Stiles when he talked. Stiles knew he was listening, and he didn't know if that was awesome or frightening. Maybe a little bit of both. At any rate, he didn't put up a fight when Stiles rinsed him. No, he leaned into Stiles' fingers as he combed through Derek's coat. A difficult task with one hand still unable to function all that well. The water that came off Derek swirled red and brown down the drain, though, and clearly the bath was long overdue. Stiles didn't have dog shampoo, so he used his dad's bottle of Suave, which smelled like green apples and made Derek sneeze. Stiles laughed at him, and Derek very carefully and deliberately took hold of Stiles' calf, his teeth pressing against the denim of Stiles' jeans in a way that seemed to suggest that he could cripple Stiles if he truly wanted to. Stiles was so distracted taking care of Derek that he'd almost forgotten about the early commotion in the woods. He was sitting on the floor toweling Derek off when he heard the back door open, followed by soft voices from downstairs. Derek, who'd been snuffling at Stiles' hair while Stiles dried him off, stiffened, his entire body going rigid as Stiles dropped the towel and got to his feet. He headed downstairs to find his father and Laura standing in the living room, talking quietly, though they both stopped when he appeared. "Hi," Stiles said warily. So, what was the big deal? Why'd you call in the cavalry?" His father glanced at Laura and said, "I thought we had a mountain lion on our hands." "Oh?" Stiles asked, startled. "Why's Laura here?" She gave him a faint smile. "You might call me something of an expert when it comes to big carnivores," she said. The way she said it made it sound like a joke, but Stiles could tell she wasn't lying, which was a surprise to him. He definitely never would have expected her to have any sort of experience with wildlife. "Well," his dad said to Laura, "thanks for your help, anyway. I'll keep you updated." "Please do," Laura said, taking a few steps toward the front door. As she passed the stairs, though, she froze, her eyes looking past Stiles, still standing halfway down. "I thought you said you didn't have a dog," she said quietly. Stiles turned and saw Derek standing at the top of the stairs, his ears pinned back against his skull.
He's not ours, Styles said awkwardly.
Dad says he hangs out at the old Hale House.
He cut himself off, remembering who he was talking to and what she'd lost in the fire. Laura didn't seem to notice. Her face had been overtaken by a very unhappy expression, and Styles shifted uncomfortably as a couple of things slotted into place. The fact that Derek hung out around the Hale House, combined with the look on Laura's face, made him suspect that Derek was, in fact, Laura's dog. He hoped it wasn't true because he suddenly, desperately, didn't want to lose Derek's company.
Is he yours? Styles asked, his stomach heavy with dread.
Laura blinked, then gave a hollow laugh.
No, he's not. He doesn't belong to anyone. If anything, this town belongs to him.
Okay, Styles said slowly, not understanding what she meant.
Do you know who he is? Laura asked him.
Styles' father made a short, abortive movement like he wanted to stop her, but he didn't say anything. And Styles gave him a curious look before he replied.
I know his name's Derek. That's all.
Laura seemed to relax, real humour sneaking back into her expression.
That's enough. I think you'll be good for each other, don't you, Sheriff?
I think so,
his father agreed, sticking his hands in his pockets.
Well, Laura said softly, her eyes still focused on Derek. I guess I'll be heading home.
Drive safe, his father told her, as Styles said. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, Laura nodded. Bye, guys.
She paused before adding,
Bye, Dare.
Styles glanced up the stairs to see that Derek had retreated. Laura sighed quietly and raised a hand in farewell as she left the house. After the door swung shut behind her, Styles looked at his father and said,
A mountain lion, huh?
Yes, a mountain lion, his father said wearily.
Can we talk about this tomorrow?
Fine, Styles said,
but only because I gave Derek a bath and now I need to take a shower.
His father waved him away, and Styles went back upstairs. He didn't go into the bathroom immediately, though. He headed for his room instead, where he found Derek, as he'd expected. Derek had crammed himself under Styles' bed, only the tips of his black paws sticking out from beneath it. Styles got down on the floor, lying on the rug next to his bed so he could see underneath the box spring. Derek was just a dark shape in the shadows, though Styles could see the glint of his eyes reflecting the light from the hall.
Hey, dude, you all right? Styles said softly.
Derek made a very quiet noise, which sounded distinctly unhappy. But Styles didn't move. He knew better than to reach out to him. He rested his hand on the floor between them, though, palm up like a peace offering. He didn't say anything else, just lay there on his stomach, breathing steadily, watching Derek. After a long, long moment, Derek shifted forward slightly, bringing his head out from under the bed just far enough to bump his nose against Styles' hand. Styles relaxed slightly and reached out to scratch at Derek's damp fur. For once, Derek didn't seem to dislike Styles' touch. If anything, he shifted closer.
I know you can't tell me what's wrong, Styles murmured, rubbing Derek's soft ears.
But you can stay here whenever you want, you know? Obviously you've got some kind of history with Laura, but that's fine.
Derek sighed softly, and Styles ruffled his ears. I'm gonna go take a shower, but I'll be back.
Styles took his time in the shower, scrubbing blood and dirt off his hands while he tried to process the night's events. He didn't believe his dad, was the bottom line. Dangerous or not, he didn't think the entire sheriff's department would have gone swarming heavily armed into the woods after a mountain lion. He was pretty sure that was what game wardens were for. He also couldn't figure out where Laura fit into everything. He could tell she hadn't been lying when she said she had experience with big carnivores. But if the mountain lion thing wasn't true, then what the hell was she doing out there? And how did she know Derek? This town belongs to him, she'd said. Stiles washed the shampoo out of his hair, gritting his teeth thoughtfully. Scott had known about Derek, and his dad had said some people had told him about Derek. If he was a stray, it made sense that a lot of people in town were familiar with him, so maybe it wasn't so weird that Laura knew him too, but she'd seemed almost upset by the sight of him. He shook his head as he climbed out of the shower. He was pretty sure he was missing something. He had that feeling again of being a stranger, standing outside the window looking in. It wasn't a great feeling, but he hoped his dad would be willing to open up to him, maybe give him some insight. As Stiles towered himself off, he caught sight of the bottle of iodine sitting next to the sink, and paused, the sight jolting his memory and reminding him of the hinges he'd noticed at the back of the closet. He didn't know how old the house was, but he'd found enough weird quirks already to be unsurprised by a secret compartment at the back of a hall closet. After he was dry, Stiles wrapped his towel around his waist and left the bathroom to investigate the closet. He could hear his dad downstairs, thumping around in the kitchen, and Stiles moved quietly, unwilling to get caught for some reason that he couldn't quite understand. He carefully shifted aside bottles of cures for various ailments, some of which he didn't even recognize, and looked as though they'd been sitting there for years, probably left there by the previous homeowner, until he had enough space to see the back wall clearly. There was a small door there, half as wide as the closet and only a foot high, with a porcelain knob and brass hinges, totally innocuous. Stiles reached for it, but paused just before touching the knob, remembering the last time he tried to open an unfamiliar door. His burnt hand throbbed at the memory, as if to say, "Proceed with caution." And Stiles did. He kept his hand hovering there, just millimeters from the doorknob, while he considered. He was almost certain he could feel something like the buzzing by the gateway in the library, but not... It felt softer, friendlier somehow. He didn't know how to explain it, but it felt all right, so he took a chance and put his fingers to the knob, pulling the little door open. Stiles didn't feel anything, not even a tingle, which was kind of a relief, if he was being honest with himself, and leaned into the closet to peer inside. Beyond the door was a shallow hole in the wall, framed on all sides with wood. Sitting inside were two books, and on top of them, a note. When Stiles reached forward and pulled them out, he found the note said only, "If you found this place, then you'll need these. M.M." "Huh," Stiles said softly. His head turned as he heard his dad come into the living room. It sounded like he was heading for the stairs, so Stiles hurriedly stepped back, shutting the little door and shoving the bottles back in front of it before closing the closet door and retreating to his room. Once inside, the door only slightly ajar so Derek could get out if he wanted, Stiles slipped on a pair of boxes and got into bed. He paused there a moment, wondering if Derek was going to come out from under the bed, but there came no movement from below, so he settled amongst his pillows and turned his focus to the books. One was a leather-bound journal. Flipping through it, Stiles found that it was written in French, which led him to believe that the book had belonged to the old homeowner. He had a vague memory of his dad telling him that she'd been a French teacher at the high school. That and the fact that the entries only went back to 2009, which told him it had been placed in the cupboard fairly recently. He didn't know French, so it wasn't of much interest to him, but there were drawings mixed amongst the entries, sketches of plants and wildlife. He paused over a drawing of a dog that looked just like Derek, brushing his fingers over the faint imprint of the pen strokes in the paper.
"You ever going to come out from under there, dude?"
he asked out loud, glancing toward the edge of the bed. There was no response from Derek, though. Either he'd fallen asleep, or he was ignoring Stiles, who bet on the latter. "Fine," he muttered, and turned his attention to the second book. This one was smaller, almost pocket-sized, bound in aged turquoise canvas with no title, just an embossed image of a flame on the cover. Stiles touched the worn golden lines, hesitating before he opened the book. He thought he could feel something again, that buzzing at the back of his mind. So faint, he was probably imagining it. No, he was definitely imagining it, because there was no reason for it to keep happening. No reason. He was definitely not going crazy. Stiles opened the book at random and frowned down at the page in front of him. "What the hell?" he murmured. The spread before him looked like a recipe, but it wasn't a recipe. The heading at the top of the page said, "Levitation, inanimate objects," and was followed by step-by-step instructions on how to, apparently, levitate inanimate objects. Stiles flipped the page, and there was, sure enough, "Levitation, living creatures." Stiles turned the pages, fascinated, and saw "Raising winds, basic glamours, scrying, mirrors, scrying, water, defensive wards," and pages and pages of spells. Stiles flipped to the front of the book, certain he'd somehow found a prop from Harry Potter, but there was no sign that this book was anything other than earnest, and he shut it, tapping his fingers against the cover. All right, so the lady who'd lived here before them was a witch? He guessed that kind of made sense, considering all the weird shit he'd cleaned out of the shed. And his dad had said there'd been a ton of strange things in the house, too. And hell, the library had that whole collection of books on the occult. "Spend some time down there," Lydia had said. "This is so fucking weird," Stiles said. He turned his head, attention caught by Derek, who was finally coming out from under the bed. He straightened and shook himself all over, then turned and put his chin on the edge of the mattress, looking at Stiles. Stiles looked back, his eyebrows raised. "You're clean, you can get up here," he said. Derek gave him a long look before leaping onto the bed without any effort, his entire being exuding a nonchalant air like he didn't need Stiles' permission, which he didn't, really. Derek was big enough that Stiles wouldn't have fought him if he wanted to get on the bed, but it was nice to feel like he had a choice. He curled up in the space next to Stiles, who watched him shift closer and closer, pretending not to notice when Derek put his head on Stiles' stomach. "Play it cool," he thought, though he was actually pleased that Derek was finally getting friendly. "You ever seen anything like this?" Stiles asked Derek, offering him the book of spells. Derek sniffed the book carefully, sneezed explosively, and it was probably, definitely a trick of the light, but Stiles could have sworn that his eyes flashed red. "I think it's time to go to sleep," he muttered, setting the books on his nightstand. He shut off his light and settled down in bed, Derek shifting with him so his head ended up on Stiles's chest. Stiles exhaled slowly, absently sinking his fingers into the thick ruff of fur at Derek's neck. "Been an exciting day, huh? Mountain lions, spell books. What next?" Derek sighed in what sounded like agreement, and Stiles patted his back comfortingly. "At least you're clean now, buddy, so I guess some good came out of the day." Derek huffed at that, his hot breath wafting across Stiles' face. Stiles grimaced, pushing at Derek's head. "Gross, dude. What have you been eating? I guess a toothbrush is next on the list for you." Derek snapped at his fingers, but it seemed more playful than anything. Stiles let himself be caught, and Derek gently gnawed at his hand for a moment before shoving his nose against Styles' palm. Styles laughed quietly, sweeping his hand over Derek's head and down his back. "I'm glad you decided I was worth hanging around," Styles told him softly. "I hope you'll stick about, because I really like having you here." Derek huffed again, but it was a softer noise, and he shifted around, scooting up the bed until he was crammed up against the crook of Styles' neck, breathing warm air against his throat. Styles grinned, unreasonably pleased, and looped an arm around Derek's neck, holding him close as he slipped into slumber. Waking up sneezing the next morning from having his face shoved into dog hair all night was well worth it. He went in that afternoon to see his dad at lunch because he was an awesome son, and also because he was ready to get some answers about the previous night's events, and his dad wouldn't be able to get out of it if Styles trapped him at his desk. Also because he was an awesome son, he brought his dad food, although because he also cared about his dad's health, it was a veggie burger and a salad. His dad looked at it sadly, while Styles thumped himself down into the chair across the desk. He still felt a little itchy. He'd had to take some allergy meds when he'd woken up because his throat had been half swollen shut. But hey, small sacrifices were to be made when making friends with feral dogs or whatever. At any rate, he had the day off work and he was going to make the most of it. "So," Styles drawled as his dad glowered and dumped ranch dressing on his salad. "Last night." "Last night," his dad echoed moodily. "What about it?" "You really expect me to believe there was a mountain lion in our backyard?" Styles asked. His father frowned at him as he picked up his fork. "There are mountain lions in California. They're not as uncommon as you might think." "I'm aware of that. But in our backyard?" "There's no way Derek could have fought a mountain lion and have gotten away with only a bite on the leg." "You might be surprised," his dad muttered. Styles frowned at him, opening his mouth to ask just what he meant by that, when someone knocked on the door, and a deputy poked his head into the office. "Dan's back from the preserve," he told Styles' father. "Wants to talk to you." His dad nodded and got to his feet. "You stay here," he said to Styles, who stuck his tongue out at him, but stayed where he was. He tapped his feet absently as he waited for his father to return, staring around idly. He looked at the wolf skull by the window, then at the bookshelves beneath it, and his feet stilled. He'd looked up the code his dad had told him to tell the deputy last night, 1091AW, but Google had given him nothing but some kind of race car. Styles got out of the chair and walked over to the bookcase, where he found a slim volume titled Beacon County Sheriff's Department Codes and Regulations, 2014 edition. He flipped through it, past chapters on ethics and bylaws, all the way to the back, where he found a list of radio codes. He ran his finger down the list. Past 1060, kids playing in the street. Past 1071, a shooting. Until he reached 1091, a stray animal. Below that was 1091A, a vicious animal. And below that, Styles' eyes widened. 1091AW, wolf. Styles' eyes snapped to the wolf skull on top of the bookcase. "None in California, huh?" he said sarcastically, slamming the book shut. No wonder Derek had attacked. Jesus! He shoved the book back onto the shelf, glared at his dad's desk for a moment, then slipped out of the office. He didn't know why his dad was trying to hide things from him, but he wasn't super pleased about it, and he'd be happy to tell his father as much. Styles headed down the hall that led to the room where all the deputies had desks, but jerked himself backward as he turned the corner, because his father was standing there with a group of deputies and... Styles peered carefully around the corner. Laura was there too, her arms folded over her chest. She did not look pleased. His dad was standing with his back to Styles, his head turned slightly as he listened to one of the deputies speak.
It's definitely living in town somewhere, not the preserve. Abandoned house, maybe.
I don't understand. Why now? Styles' father said. It's been 5 years since the fire, and Peter...
Derek's been distracted lately, Laura said, then pointedly added, Your son's waiting around the corner.
Styles was too busy wondering what Derek had to do with anything to realize he'd been found out, until his dad came around the corner looking grim.
Styles said hurriedly, forcing a smile. Hey, Dad, I was looking...
Uh-huh, his dad said, looking unimpressed. I think it's time you headed home.
Styles scowled at him. He was 20 years old. He didn't need bossing around.
What's going on? Why are you being so secretive?
This is police business, Styles, his father sighed. Do me a favor and stay out of it.
Like that's ever happened, Styles scoffed, heading for the exit.
If you won't tell me what's going on, I'll just have to figure it out myself, and you know I will.
See you at home, his dad said, as if Styles hadn't said anything.
Why don't you pick us up something for dinner? I like the sound of steak.
Styles grumbled to himself all the way out to his car. Whatever his dad had been talking to the deputies and Laura about, it didn't sound like it had anything to do with what happened in the woods the night before. But why was his dad being so closed off about it? There'd been cases in the past that he'd tried to keep under wraps, usually without success, but more often than not, he shared stuff with Styles. He said it was good to get a fresh perspective sometimes, and Styles had been able to offer helpful suggestions before. He didn't like feeling as though he couldn't be trusted. He drove to the grocery store and headed inside, muttering mutinously the whole way in, only stopping when an old lady gave him the stink eye. The store was quiet, and he stood in front of the meat counter for a while, absently humming along with the 90s music playing over the store radio. He was just reaching for a couple packs of sirloin when someone stepped up beside him, and he jumped. It was Jennifer, the clerk from the town hall, and she smiled apologetically.
Sorry, didn't mean to scare you.
It's fine. I was off in my own world, I guess. She smiled again.
Stanislav, right?
Styles, actually, he said uncomfortably.
Right.
Jennifer nodded. How's your arm doing?
Oh, Styles said blankly. It's fine, thanks.
That's great, Jennifer said, leaning forward to snag a package of ribeye.
Well, have a good day.
You too, Styles replied, and watched her disappear down the canned foods aisle. There was something strange about her, he thought, though he couldn't put his finger on it. She made him uneasy. When Styles got home, he shoved the steaks in the fridge and spent the rest of the afternoon out in the garden. The woods were quiet, and he couldn't help feeling a little unnerved being outside. Whatever was out there, whether it be a mountain lion or a wolf or something else entirely, it was obviously dangerous. He didn't know where Derek had disappeared off to. He hadn't hung around after Styles woke that morning, slipping at the back door while Styles made himself breakfast. Styles would have felt a lot better if he knew Derek was around. He made do with his own company weeding out the garden. Things were coming in nicely now, the dirt mostly covered in a carpet of green growth. He was proud of himself. There was nothing like seeing the tangible results of hard work, even if it was still weeks away from actually being edible. His dad came home around 5:30, and Styles took a shower while his father got their steaks on the grill. He'd hoped that Derek might show up, lured by the smell of meat cooking, but he didn't. Styles and his dad ate alone, sitting on the back porch again, toes brushing the grass. Dad, Styles said after a while, setting aside his plate. They hadn't spoken much since his father got home, and Styles had been thinking about what he'd overheard at the station. His father sighed, sounding tired, like he already knew what Styles was thinking.
Styles, I told you, it's police business.
I know, Styles said impatiently. I'm not trying to pry, I promise. I just want to know, for my own peace of mind, is everything all right? Like, are we safe out here? He watched his father chew at his lip and added, It's weird being out here, with the woods all around and everything. It's different from the city. His dad nodded slowly, looking grim. I understand, he said, and sighed again. I'm not too sure what's going on myself, but I can tell you that there have been some reported sightings of a suspicious man hanging around town, and we don't know what his intentions are. Stiles stared off into the woods, tapping his fingers against the deck. So, he said eventually, dangerous or not? I don't know, his father replied, but I'm leaning toward dangerous. Man disappears for 5 years before showing up out of the blue. Doesn't seem right to me. Okay, Stiles said slowly. That's not super reassuring. What's he look like? Should I be worried? His dad shook his head. No, no. I've got people looking for him. There'd be no reason for him to show up out here. Who is he? Stiles asked curiously. Can you tell me? His father hesitated a long moment before he said, His name's Peter Hale. Peter? Stiles straightened, his eyes going wide. A Hale? Is he related to Laura? Is he her brother? His dad shook his head, getting to his feet. No, he's her uncle. You done? Stiles nodded slowly, handing his father his empty plate and following him inside. His dad looked hunted, and Stiles could tell he didn't want to continue the conversation. So he took a step back for the moment and changed topics. I haven't seen Derek all day. His father gave him a dry look as he loaded their plates into the sink. You know, for someone who was so up in arms about me letting a stray into the house, you certainly changed your tune. What? I'm not allowed to like animals? All I'm saying, his dad said, his tone lofty, is that you freaked out about finding him in your bed, and as far as I can tell, he slept on your bed last night. Stiles glowered at his father. Whatever, he muttered, retreating to the living room. The worst part was his dad was right. Stiles had done a total 180 on Derek. And why not? He seemed to like Stiles, and Stiles liked him. Nothing wrong with that. Don't worry about Derek, his dad said, coming into the living room a few minutes later. This town basically belongs to him. He's got territory to look out for. Uh-huh, Stiles muttered. Hadn't Laura said the same thing last night? This town belongs to him. He supposed that when someone didn't have a house, the whole world was their home. It didn't really make him feel any better, especially now that he knew there was a potentially dangerous man roaming around outside somewhere. I could start taking you to the gun range again, if it would make you feel better, his dad offered. But Stiles shook his head. He didn't like guns all that much. Didn't trust himself not to accidentally shoot his foot off. He couldn't see himself threatening anyone, not even a home invader. When he went to bed later, Stiles picked up the book of spells and flipped through it idly. A question of knowledge, Lydia had said. Not belief. It seemed so unreal to him, almost like a prank, and yet... Stiles landed on the page titled Defensive Wards and tapped his finger against the paper thoughtfully. It couldn't hurt, right? And no one would ever know. Stiles lifted his head, listening carefully, but the house sat silent. His dad had gone to bed at the same time Stiles had, and there was still no sign of Derek. No witnesses. Stiles swallowed, scanning the instructions, which seemed too easy. But he got out of his bed and rooted around in one of his desk drawers until he found a box of chalk, then sat himself down on the floor. He used the compass app on his phone to orient himself to the north, and then it was just chalking four symbols in the cardinal directions. Styles double and triple checked them with the book, then dusted off his hands, and, feeling a little silly, read the words at the bottom of the page. Nothing happened. Styles expected some kind of friction or something, but the air was still, the house quiet. He put his hand out and met no sort of invisible resistance. Styles snorted. So much for that. He hadn't really expected it to work anyway, but it would have been cool. He'd been so into fantasy as a kid. Finding out magic was real would have been fulfilling a childhood dream. Stupid, Styles muttered, getting to his feet and scuffing out the chalk marks before climbing back into bed. He was glad Derek hadn't been there. For an animal with no means of communication, he had a fucking expressive face, and Styles didn't need that judgy look. Stupid, Styles said again, but his eyes strayed to the book on his nightstand. He picked it up again, and instead of flipping through the pages, he turned to the first chapter. Summoning Light, it said. For most inclined to magical abilities, the most rudimentary of skills is the ability to summon light from within. Commonly referred to as a spark, the center of your magic lays somewhere inside you. To find it, close your eyes and focus on your being. Some may find meditation is necessary to find the balance of mind and spirit that will allow you to see your spark. Your spark may be influenced by any number of circumstances within or beyond your control. Your mood and mental state, the proximity of other people or beings with magical abilities, and the very lay of the land and the ley lines that run below the earth. All of these things can negatively or positively affect the power of your spark. Areas where ley lines converge may amplify one's spark to above normal levels, while places that do not sit on ley lines may make it impossible for users to find their spark at all. It is not unheard of for people from these areas to go many years without any sign of any magical ability, only to move to an area of high magical significance and discover their latent powers. Some of the most powerful enchanters of the last century came from the most magically barren places on Earth. Once your spark has been located, become familiar with it. Understand how it moves through your veins. Your magic is as an innate part of you as any organ, but significant in that, like muscles, it can be built upon and made more powerful with practice and exercise. Understanding how it works with your body will only give you greater control over it in the long run. To summon light, focus on your spark. Trace its path from wherever it may reside, your brain, under your tongue, the pit of your stomach, and follow its path to the center of your palm. It should take the merest push, the slightest suggestion of a thought, to will your spark into manifesting. This has to be a joke, Styles muttered, shutting the book. Who could write that and take it seriously? Honestly, some people were so fucking weird. He'd heard of ley lines, but it was some stupid New Age crap. He put the book on his nightstand and shut off the light, flipping around until he got comfortable. Styles laid there, listening to the crickets for a while, but he couldn't sleep. Despite his best efforts, his mind kept slipping back to the book. Styles scowled at the ceiling, but really, no one was going to know if he tried again. He shut his eyes and made himself relax, breathing slowly. He listened to his heartbeat, to the blood rushing in his ears. He exhaled evenly, wondering where his center was. He'd taken yoga one semester, and back then it seemed to be somewhere below his heart, just above his stomach. But he was pretty sure that wasn't what he was looking for in this case. He thought through every part of his body, starting at his toes and working his way upward. It would have been hilarious if his spark, or whatever it was in his dick. He had a hilarious mental image of shooting flames. But he found it, quite suddenly, in the hollow at the base of his throat. Styles couldn't say how he knew what it was, or how he even really found it, but there it sat, pulsing warmly beneath his sternum like a second heart. He could hear a very faint buzzing in his head, something gentle. "Is this real?" he whispered, touching his skin. It felt as warm as it should be, but in his head he could feel his spark pulse in response to his touch. Holy shit! He kind of wished Derek was there for that moment. Derek would have been impressed, he was pretty sure, and not much seemed to impress Derek. "Okay," he murmured, a little nervous. He squeezed his eyes shut, holding his palm out. "Trace a path." Okay, easy enough. And now that he knew to look, he could feel the spark radiating through his body, spiraling along his limbs and splitting to reach the very tips of his fingers and toes. He focused on the piece that lay under his palm, took a deep breath, and pushed. Light flared behind his eyelids, and his eyes flew open to find a small globe of light hovering a couple of centimeters above his palm. "Holy shit," he murmured weakly. "Holy shit!" The sphere was maybe 5 inches in diameter and glowed a soft, flickering yellow-white, like candlelight. Stiles held his other hand up to it, fingers trembling. But it wasn't hot. He poked at it with one long finger, and it avoided him gracefully. Curiosity growing, he tilted his hand. The light didn't fall, but followed the movement, bobbing until it hung securely over his knuckles. He was able to pass it to his other hand, then onto his knee, where it lost its balance and rolled slowly down his leg and ended up over his toes. It wouldn't leave his body, though. When he tried to put it on the bed, it clung to his fingers like a piece of staticky styrofoam. He said absently, reaching for the book. He almost turned on his light, until he laughed a little hysterically and realized he didn't exactly need it. He held his hand over the first chapter and scanned the text, because now that he had the light, he didn't know how to get rid of it. The book made no mention of how to turn it off, though, and there was nothing in the following pages. The next chapter was on how to summon fire. Stiles shut the book again and frowned down at the ball of light hovering in his palm. "Go away," he told it. The light did not, in fact, go away. Stiles frowned. He tried closing his fingers over it, like maybe he could snuff it out in his grasp, but the light nimbly avoided his grip. He glared at it. "Come on!" Stiles shut his eyes moodily. It must have something to do with his spark. He frowned, once again following the golden path that lined his bones, right up to his palm, and imagined jerking it backward, his fingers twitching at the movement. It worked, though, however stupid it seemed. He noticed the light fading behind his eyelids immediately, and by the time he opened them, it was gone. Stiles grinned. He'd fucking summoned light, and either he was hallucinating, or magic was real. It was everything he'd hoped for when he was a kid. Stiles had to do it again, just to prove that it wasn't a fluke, calling forth the little ball of light and banishing it just as quickly. He laughed excitedly. After a few tries, he didn't even need to shut his eyes anymore. He could watch it bloom into existence and fade into nothing. With some experimentation, Stiles found he could even change the size, growing it from just a pinprick to an orb a foot wide that hovered 2 feet above his head, bright enough to fill his entire room with soft, golden light. It took a long time for him to fall asleep that night, his body thrumming with excitement. He ended up oversleeping the next day and stumbled into the library 45 minutes late. Laura sat behind the circulation desk, that day's copy of The New York Times spread out before her. She didn't even look up at him. "Rough night, huh?" "Not really," Stiles lied. "Just couldn't sleep." Laura did glance up at him then, her brow furrowing momentarily before smoothing out. She looked back down at the paper and nodded, deftly filling in an answer on the crossword puzzle. "Okay, try not to be late next time. There are donuts in my office." You're the best boss, Stiles said loyally, and slipped off to grab a jelly donut before shelving the card of returns Laura had let build up. The day passed quietly. It was a slow day anyway, a Thursday, and Stiles spent most of it lost in thought. Laura gave him a stack of new arrivals and a brief lesson on how to wrap the covers in their protective plastic covers, and he welcomed the mindless task, standing at a rickety table down in the basement. It gave him plenty of time to think about the previous night, about what he'd done. For a while, he wondered if it had just been some kind of weird dream, but then he built up the courage to try again. He glanced around nervously, but he was alone in the basement, so he took a deep breath to settle himself and watched the little globe of light flare up between his fingers with wide eyes. Not a dream, then. As Stiles stood there, rolling the little ball between his fingers, he realized that beyond the faint buzzing in his head that he was now pretty sure came from magic, he could hear a deeper noise beneath his feet, so low it was almost beyond his range of hearing. He could feel it more than anything, a thrum in his very bones. Curious, Stiles dismissed his light, but the buzzing in his mind didn't leave him as the light faded. His head came up as he realized that he'd felt it before, felt it multiple times, and it was coming from the grate over the rare books room. Fuck, Stiles breathed, realization smacking him in the face. The door was magicked. Of course it was. Laura had said, hadn't she, that the room held rare books and if there were other people out in the world using magic, a simple gate probably wouldn't stop them. Stiles stepped closer and the buzzing got louder. He wondered if the volume of it had anything to do with its strength. It had been pretty loud when the door zapped him. That made him wonder about the deep vibration he could feel now. Why hadn't he been able to hear it before? Maybe he needed to find his spark first, awaken his senses, as it were. Stiles stood in front of it and listened to it buzz. But his attention wasn't on the gate. It was on the stone around it. He found what he was looking for at the very peak of the doorway. He had to stand on the tips of his toes to see it, but they were there right enough, faint symbols carved into the stone. If memory served him right, they weren't unlike the ones in the warding spell he'd tried the night before. Stiles stepped away from the grate and went back to his work at the table, but his mind kept churning. Just what could be done with magical powers? Was there an upper limit on power? Did people have to level up like in video games? Stiles's eyes slid towards the rare books. There'd be an answer in there, he was pretty sure. Stiles knew where the key was, but considering the shock he'd received the last time he tried to enter the room without permission, he knew he had to do it the right way. Around noon, he went upstairs. Laura sat at the circulation desk, chatting with Mrs. Martin, Lydia's mom. "What's up, sweet cheeks?" Laura asked him, grinning faintly. "You heading out for lunch?"
"No," Stiles said awkwardly, flushing at the pet name. "I was wondering if I could get into the book room downstairs." He picked at the surface of the circulation desk with a blunt fingernail.
"Sure thing," Laura said casually. "You know where the key is."
"Thanks," Stiles said, and ducked away before anyone could ask him why he was so interested. It felt strange going into the collection for his own purposes. The last time he'd been in here, he hadn't known what to think. But now, Stiles stood still for a while, slowly scanning every title. It took a while, even though half the books seemed to be in other languages. A couple volumes he pulled off the shelf and flipped through their contents before slipping them back into place. He wasn't quite sure what he was looking for. A guide for beginners, maybe. He grinned wryly to himself, fairly certain he wouldn't be finding magic for dummies down here. Stiles didn't have much luck finding what he needed. There were several hundred books on the shelves, and without any sort of catalogue, it made research a little difficult. But he did find a book titled A Compendium of North American Supernatural Beings. That looked interesting enough, so he settled down in the uncomfortable wooden chair at the end of the room to glance through it.
Without a window or even a clock in the room, it was hard to tell how much time had passed. Stiles grew thoroughly engrossed with the book, reading through entry after entry on the weirdest creatures he'd ever learned about. Almas and rocks and hodags. He was all the way to the D's. Deer women, djinn, drac. When something moved next to him and he jumped, completely startled.
"You okay?" Laura asked, leaning over him with her eyebrows raised.
Yeah, Stiles gasped, one hand over his heart. "Jesus, you scared me."
Laura smiled. "What did you find?"
"Oh, this," Stiles said, showing her the cover of the book.
Laura's eyes widened slightly, her smile widening.
"Anyway, sorry, am I late?"
"It's 5. I'm heading home."
5? Stiles repeated, bewildered. "What? Why didn't you stop me earlier?"
"Slow day," Laura shrugged, smiling. "And I know what it's like to get lost in a good book." She nodded toward the one in his hands.
"You can take that home tonight if you'd like. It's not worth anything."
"I shouldn't," Stiles said with a rueful look down at the volume. "I might miss work entirely if I get too wrapped up in it."
"Good point," Laura laughed, watching Stiles get to his feet and reshelve the book. They carefully locked up the grate and left the library together, separating in the parking lot to head for their respective cars, calling goodbyes as they went. When Stiles got home, his dad's car was already in the driveway, and Derek lay on the porch, his head on his paws.
"Hey, dude," Stiles said as he approached the steps. "Not hanging out with Dad?"
Derek lifted his head as Stiles came up the steps, touching his nose to Stiles' outstretched fingers. Stiles headed toward the door, grinning when he heard Derek get to his feet and follow him. Stiles was glad to see Derek. He hadn't been at the house since the morning before, and Stiles had missed him. He'd kind of started to think of Derek as his, and he'd been a little worried when he hadn't shown up at the house last night. Now Derek followed him inside, into the living room, where Stiles' dad lay stretched out on the couch, sound asleep.
"No wonder you didn't want to hang out with him," Stiles whispered to Derek. "He's turning into an old man, I swear."
Derek huffed, and it sounded like a laugh. Stiles grinned and headed for the kitchen, but rather than clanking around making dinner and waking his dad up, he and Derek made their way to the backyard, where Stiles hauled out the hose and watered the garden. Stiles watched Derek circle the backyard before coming to rest at Stiles' side, head up and ears alert as he watched the forest.
"What do you hear, bud?" Stiles asked him, spraying water over the soil.
Derek's ears flickered back toward him, but he didn't turn his head.
"Must be interesting," Stiles continued innocently, waving an expressive hand. "You must be able to hear for miles."
He grinned and adopted his best movie announcer voice.
Derek thought he was safe. Little did he know, his best friend was about to betray him. And Stiles turned the jet of water on Derek, who yelped and spun around, looking wounded. Stiles laughed as Derek tried to escape the spray from the hose, snapping at the water like he could hurt it. He was still laughing when Derek gave up and charged at him instead, smashing into his knees and sending Stiles tumbling to the ground.
"Hey!"
Stiles protested, blinking hard as his head smacked against the grass. Derek huffed and flopped down on top of him, his wet fur quickly soaking Stiles' shirt and pants.
"Get off me!"
He aimed the hose at Derek's ribs, hitting him point blank in the side. But Derek just gave him a smug look as the cold water ran off his side and pooled on Stiles' stomach.
"Come on, man," Stiles complained, shoving at Derek. He was fucking heavy. "Let me up."
Derek took his sweet time getting to his feet. Stiles groaned as he got up, his shirt soaking wet and smeared with dirt.
"This is your fault," he informed Derek, who bumped against Styles hard enough to send him staggering. Styles swore and swiped at him, but Derek leapt backward, his tongue hanging out of his mouth. It took Styles a second to realize that Derek was being playful. He'd never seen the dog remotely interested in catching a ball or chewing on a toy, but here he was practically skipping around Styles, mouth open in what was clearly a smirk. "You think you're funny, huh?" Styles panted, lunging after him. "We'll see." Derek spun away with a noise that was almost a bark. Another surprise, as Styles had never heard that before. And Styles chased, running through the backyard, looping through the woods and back toward the house. Derek was clearly playing with him. Styles knew he was fast, but he'd stop, wait until Styles got close enough to touch before ducking under his grasp and sprinting forward a couple hundred yards. Styles was laughing and red-faced by the time Derek allowed himself to be caught on the back deck, and Derek himself was open-mouthed and panting, pink tongue lolling over his white teeth. Styles was almost dry by then, his shirt cool, Derek's fur a little damp, but he didn't really mind. Derek spread himself out over the deck, and Styles sat next to him, absently running his hands through Derek's dark fur as they both watched the woods, Derek's ears twitching occasionally as he caught far-off noises. If Styles closed his eyes, he could hear stuff too. But it wasn't natural. At least, it wasn't a part of the natural world he was used to hearing. He could hear the thrumming he'd heard at the library that morning, a pulse of noise that started deep and faded away, almost like a heartbeat. It was fainter here than it had been at the library, but still strong. Strong enough to pull him to his feet and head toward the garden, a vague frown on his face. Behind him, Derek got to his feet. Styles could hear the click of his nails on the wood planks of the deck, and followed. As Styles walked, he was almost certain the noise grew louder. He kept walking, past the garden and toward the trees, and then into the woods. And he was definitely sure the deep noise grew louder as he went. "Hey, Derek," Styles said over his shoulder. "Do you want to go for a walk?" Derek tilted his head curiously and took a few quick steps forward so he stood at Styles' side. He bumped his head against Styles' hand, and Styles grinned. "Now I'm counting on you, dude. If there are any mountain lions out here, I need you to keep them away, all right?" Derek made a soft noise, bumping his head against Styles' hand once more before moving forward. Styles followed, curiosity pulling him along. It was dim under the trees, the sun sinking toward the horizon, but there was still plenty of light to see by. Derek walked a couple yards in front of him, the line of his dark form relaxed, tail swinging from side to side as he walked. If there were mountain lions in the woods, Styles would take his cues from Derek. Seeing as how he was completely relaxed at the moment, Styles wasn't super worried. The hum grew louder as they walked. Styles wondered if Derek could hear it too. He was certainly headed in the right direction without Styles even saying anything. Styles knew that dogs could hear a lot of things that humans couldn't. He'd probably been hearing the hum long before Styles noticed it. They walked for a while, maybe 15 minutes or more. Styles wasn't really keeping track. He was watching the woods. Judging by the direction of the sun at his shoulder, they were heading north, probably on the preserve by now. He wondered how far they were from the lake, how far from the burnt-out shell of the Hale House. He wondered about Derek, why he hung out there. Because it offered shelter, probably. From what Styles remembered seeing of it, it hadn't been completely burnt down. Much of the first floor seemed intact, or at least had walls and a ceiling. Maybe he'd come out and explore it sometime. Styles almost tripped over Derek, who'd stopped walking. He made an irritated noise as Styles collected himself, brushing bark off the hand he'd thrown against a tree to catch himself. Styles looked up and realized they were at the edge of a clearing,
and in the middle of it stood the largest tree he'd ever seen. Stiles had seen large trees. He'd seen sequoias a couple years ago at Sequoia National Park, and the tree before him was nowhere near as tall. It was no taller than the rest of the forest around it, but its trunk was massive, at least twice as big around as General Sherman's. The pulse was loud here, almost deafening. Though, confusingly, even though Stiles knew what he was hearing was loud, he could easily hear his own breathing and the sound of Derek and his feet on the leaves lining the forest floor, and Stiles was almost certain he'd reached the source of it. He crossed the clearing slowly, head tilted back to take in the massive crown. The bark of the tree was smooth, a light brown, covered in moss and lichen. Stiles reached out a hand to touch it before remembering the last time he'd touched something without permission. He looked down at his arm, at the burns still healing there, shiny and red. He looked down at Derek, who looked back up at him, his expression neutral. "Is this thing safe?" Stiles asked him. Derek blinked, but didn't move. And Stiles sighed. That had probably been stupid to expect an answer. Derek wouldn't have any idea what he was talking about anyway. Stiles turned his attention back to the tree in front of him and concentrated. It sounded kind of dumb, but the tree didn't feel unfriendly. The grate in the library basement definitely put off a don't-touch-me sort of vibe, but the tree in front of him felt completely neutral, actually. It wasn't particularly welcoming, but it wasn't telling him to go away, either. Stiles took a deep breath and laid his palm flat against the tree, and what he felt was like the way his spark had felt, really. A pure, clear energy. But Stiles' brow furrowed, his eyes settling shut as he tried to figure out what he was feeling. It was pure, but there was darkness at the edges, creeping in, unsettling. He opened his eyes and squinted up at the huge limbs spread above him. They looked healthy at first glance, lush and green, but there were branches that were dead, the wood split and dark with decay underneath. It was too bad, he thought, taking a step away from the trunk. The tree was clearly sitting on, or made of, great power, but something was warping it. You know, Stiles told Derek conversationally, this time yesterday, I wasn't even thinking about magic, and now I can tell there's something wrong with this fucking tree. Derek looked up at him, ears pricked forward curiously, and Stiles brightened. Oh yeah, I wanted to show you. He lifted his hand to summon forth the light, then hesitated, glancing back up at the tree. He didn't think anything bad would happen using his spark so close to the tree, but then again, he was new to all of this. What the fuck did he know? Let's wait till we're back at the house, huh? He looked for the sun and found it sunk below the trees. We better get back anyway. Dad's probably up making dinner. Derek stuck close to his side on the way back to the house. His body language had changed, slight tension along the lines of his body. It made Stiles a little nervous. He didn't know if it was because of the tree or something else entirely. So it was a relief to see the house through the trees, his dad out on the back deck grilling hamburgers. He twisted around when Stiles and Derek came out of the woods, lifting a hand in greeting. Derek broke away from Stiles and loped across the backyard, leaping onto the back deck where, Stiles saw, his dad had laid out a bowl of water. Stiles felt bad. Derek was probably thirsty after all that playing around earlier.
"Where have you guys been?"
his father asked, as Stiles climbed up onto the deck. "Taking a walk," Stiles replied nonchalantly. "There's a big-ass tree out in the woods back there, did you know?"
"That's so," his dad asked, not sounding interested at all. He'd never been much of a nature guy.
Come to think of it, Stiles hadn't either.
"Yeah," Stiles shrugged. "Looks like it's not doing well, though."
His father set the spatula down next to the grill.
What do you mean?
Some of the branches were dead, all rotten.
His dad's brow furrowed.
Where was this tree?
Way out in the preserve, Stiles said, pointing. I mean, it's nothing you have to worry about, I don't think. It's so far out there no one's going to get hurt if it falls over or something.
Hmm, his father said grimly, turning back to the grill.
They ate on the deck, then headed inside. We really need to get chairs or something, Stiles said, as he offered lumps of hamburger to Derek, who plucked them delicately from his fingers. His dad didn't look too concerned about deck furniture either. They caught most of a Lord of the Rings marathon. His dad slumped in his recliner, while Stiles sprawled on the couch, Derek between his legs, head resting on Stiles' stomach. Stiles ran his fingers over the soft fur on his ears and asked his dad, "What do you think he gets his food from?"
His dad snorted. "Have you seen the size of him? He probably takes down deer."
"Is that so?" Stiles asked Derek, tugging on his ear. Derek made an irritated noise and jerked his head out of Stiles' grip.
"I think that's a no."
He watched Derek's eyes follow the movement on the TV screen. If Stiles didn't know better, he'd swear Derek was actually watching the movie. His dad fell asleep 15 minutes into The Return of the King, and Stiles forced himself to get up off the couch before he did as well, heading upstairs. By the time he'd brushed his teeth, Derek had followed, sprawling himself out over the entire bed. He gave Stiles a smug look when Stiles tried to shove him aside.
"You asshat," Stiles told him, worming his way under the sheets and kicking Derek's paws out of the way.
"You think you're so special. You wouldn't be able to move me either if I spent all my time chowing down deer. What do you do, swallow him down whole like a python?"
Derek snapped at Stiles' arm playfully, and Stiles let himself be grabbed, allowing Derek to gnaw on his arm for a moment before pulling away.
"There," he said to Derek, wiping slobber onto the sheets. "Now you've had a taste of me. Pretty nasty, huh? You're better off sticking with deer."
He ran an absent hand over Derek's head, before brightening.
"Oh, I never got to show you. Watch."
Stiles held out his hand. Derek nosed at it, looking unimpressed, and Stiles said,
"Just wait."
He concentrated. It took no more than a second for his little yellow light to bloom into existence.
"See that?" He waved it in Derek's face. "Pretty cool, huh?"
He tried balancing it on Derek's nose, but Derek jerked his head backward and sneezed. Stiles dismissed the light with a laugh and reached out to scratch at Derek's ears.
"It's pretty cool though, right? I mean, I never would have thought that magic was real."
Stiles laid back in bed, Derek shifting himself around so his head was on Stiles' chest.
"Kind of makes you wonder what else is out there, you know? What else have I missed?"
He fell asleep with his fingers curled in Derek's fur, Derek's nose pressed against his arm. He dreamt of standing at the base of a massive tree, hands pressed to its mossy bark. Someone stood behind him, gentle fingers pressing at the back of his neck, and they said his name in a voice he'd never heard before, soft and sad. Stiles jolted awake in a cold sweat. Derek was gone, and outside his window, the moon hung full and silver.